again this morning, Lord, because you are awesome, Lord. Thank you for this church family, Lord. And thank you for the people you have brought here. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today, Lord, as we look into your word, as we search it, as we come before your table today, Father God, as we remember the sacrifice that you made on the cross. Father, we want to worship you in our study of the word. And we want to worship you in our lives, Lord. And so today, I ask that you just fill us up, Father. And you give us the strength to continue to move forward in every will that you have for us, Lord. In the calling that you've given to us. So, Father, we pray for your will to be done today as we look at your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, look open to Acts chapter 4. It's taking us a long time to get through this chapter, but I think that there's a lot of good things that are being said in this book. I also wanted I hope that you guys enjoyed having Bruce Christensen come back. I know that he was excited to come back and see some of you. I haven't had a chance to talk to him since he spoke, but when I talked to him about coming up and speaking, he was excited to come. And so I think, and I heard good things, that it was a good message and that he had a good time. So I'm thankful for that. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. When I'm looking at these verses, when I'm reading them, I see three different things that the first church was doing here. And remember that the Acts of the Apostles, like we get to see the church start from nothing and start and grow into something that's huge, that to the point where it was even turning the world upside down. And in these few passages, there's three different things that the believers are doing, that the church is doing to see God's grace so powerfully work in them. And the first thing that they were doing is that they were unified. All believers were one in heart and mind, verse 32. And this has been a common theme as we have worked our way through the book of Acts. And I may have repeated some things a few times, but I think that they're extremely important. And this is actually one of those things that is extremely important. That we as a church, as a body of believers, as a family, are to be unified together. That they were one in heart. They had the same desires. They were one in mind. They were thinking the same. They were pursuing the same things. It was important for them to move as a unit. I'm gonna talk about sports again. You might get sick of this, but if you are coaching, I like to coach hockey and I like to watch hockey. And you watch the great teams, the good teams in any sport work together as one unit. The best hockey teams that there are right now support each other in every aspect. When they're breaking out of their own end, they break out as a unit. It's not just one guy out. They come out together. They support each other. They support each other through the neutral zone, center ice. They support each other all the way down into the offensive zone where they work together to get the puck to the front of the net to transport the puck. And it's the same principle for a church, although we're not trying to put a puck past the goalie into a net. We are trying to accomplish something. Yeah. We are running a race to win, right? Yes, amen. If Paul has called us to, he said to us, run the race to win. Walk this walk of faith so that in the end, you win. As a church, in the end, we want to be victors. We want to see victory happen in people's lives. We want to see them freed from the bondage of sin. We want to see them freed, liberated into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is accomplished when we support each other. And when we work as a unit, and when we work as a team, and it's a perfect example of the back-to-school breakfast, you guys doing that, you guys supporting the ministry, the outreach, everybody who pitches in and helps. And there's other ministries where we pitch in and we help, but it's important to, when we read this, that they are in one heart, one mind, same desires, same goals, same way of thinking. Remember in chapter 2, they devoted themselves to three different things, to teaching, to fellowship, and to prayer. You know, as believers devoted themselves to teaching, that contributed to unity. As they devoted themselves to spending time together, breaking bread, eating, that promoted, that encouraged unity. And as they spent time praying together, it contributed to unity. And when we are doing these things together, when we are spending time together, when we are listening to the word together, when we are praying together, as we start to hear God's word together, as we start to hear God's voice together, that promotes unity. And it changes us. It gives us a new mind. It helps us to renew our minds, not to just be conformed to the world around us, but to be transformed by renewing of our minds. As we do these things together, they were unified. They were a group, and it is essential for churches to be unified. I really believe that. It is essential for churches to be unified. And the word unified means one. Right? Like, okay, we're not going to agree on everything. I know that. But we're going to work together to accomplish the goal because we have a specific goal in mind. Amen? Do we want to see the world around us impacted for the name of Jesus Christ? Do we want to see the Logan Lake? Imagine a town that every single person lived in it was a believer. I wanted to serve God. That could be Logan Lake. That could be Logan Lake. And if we have that specific goal to see people come to know Jesus and how much he loves them and how much he gave for them, then we become one. See, every ministry in our church, although it's not going to happen overnight, but all those ministries that we have to make relationships with people so that one day they might know Jesus, to reach out to people so that one day they might know Jesus, you know, like every ministry, even though it may fill a need, it still has that goal in mind, right? To see people come to know the Lord. To be unified. And the second thing that they did in these verses, they shared their possessions. Everything they had. This is something that I think is really tough for us to understand. It's really tough for us to grasp because we have our stuff. Our stuff. And we learn it from a young age. Like my 2-year-old son, he can't speak very much, but he knows the word mine. He knows the word mine, and he'll use the word mine even when it isn't his. Mine. That's mine. From a young age, we think things are ours. We accumulate things for us, for me, mine, my house, my vehicle, my kids, you can have them. All the things, you know, mine, and we try to teach, you know, the kids, like, this was a constant battle for us last week when we were in Calgary visiting. We had our kids and my friend's two kids together and they're playing, and it's like, it's like a constant, okay, no, he had it first, but you share. Why don't you guys play together? Mine. All right. But they shared their possessions, everything they had. And Proverbs chapter 11 says that generous people who live in a generous world, their world gets larger and larger. And the stingy's world gets smaller and smaller. There was a generous heart in the first church, to the point that there were no needs. You know, sometimes I think that we value things. We think about how much they cost, and it worries us, you know, like, okay, well, if I lend that out and something happens to it. You know, sometimes I think we put a value on things, and it's kind of like a worldly value. And I do it too. I'm not up here like saying that this doesn't happen to me because there's stuff in my home. Please don't play with that, Adeline. You're going to wreck that. But we value things and we value possessions, and sometimes we lack the generosity. But I wonder if we looked at things as gifts from God, would our view of possessions change? The Bible talks about the fact that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. You know that He has blessed us with things, but they're not our own. They're not our stuff. God's given us things, or the ability to get things, to use them for His glory. All the things that we have can be a blessing to somebody else in some way. So that being said, who has a lawnmower I can borrow? You know, sometimes I think the Lord wishes that we didn't accumulate so much stuff. Actually, I know that the Lord wishes that we didn't accumulate so much stuff, but that isn't necessarily always the worst thing. The question is, how do we use that stuff to glorify His name and to bless others around us? If we look at the church in the first church that it started in the Bible, if we look at these verses and we believe them, what they say and what they did, that means that if we look around and we see each other has something that we need and we can share it to fulfill that need, that's what the first church was doing. And then the Bible says, because they were doing that, nobody had a need. You know, a good question for us to ask is, how can I use my house to bless others? How can I use my vehicle to bless others? How can I use my toys, my things, everything to bless others? How can I use my possessions to glorify You, Lord? That's the ultimate question. How can I use the things to be generous, Lord? A prayer of ours should be, how can I be more generous? Because the fact of the matter is, and Scripture tells it to us, that if we are generous, it opens up a way for God to bless us more and more and more. You know, sometimes, and so many of us think this way, that if I have X amount of things and I give this much away, I'm only left with this, but that God works in a different way. Because when you give this much away, you're not just left with this, because He blesses you to this and to this and to this and so much more. Being a generous person allows God to be able to bless you as you bless others. And so a spirit of generosity needs to exist within the church. If I'm reading this the way that I think I should be reading it, the Bible's telling us that as a church and as individuals within the church, we should be generous. And a spirit of generosity should live within us. How can I use my stuff, everything that I have, to glorify you, Lord? And number three, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They continued to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people around them. To this world that they were turning upside down, with great power, they were able to go out and to teach and to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These guys who were with Jesus, who walked with Jesus, who heard from Jesus, who learned and were taught by Jesus, they were able to go out and then spread that good news to the people around them. They were fulfilling what Jesus had commanded them to do. Go out and be my witnesses and to the very ends of the earth. And that's what they were doing. They were going out to witness to the Lord Jesus and his love for the people around them. It wasn't lost on them that there was a job to do. It wasn't like they were like, oh, Lord, you saved us, but why would you give us this task? Why? Why did you have to give us something to do? You know, I just wanted to pray the prayer and be saved, and then that'd be it. You know, but that's not true, is it? That's not true. Unfortunately, some people do think that. It's not true. You know, sometimes I think that we might think the Lord died for us, and so that it's just for me. That I just need salvation, because that's for me. But your salvation wasn't for you. Your salvation was so that you could share how good the Lord has been to you. What he accomplished for you on the cross. Paul said it best, I've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then he goes on to say, but this life that I now live, I live to God. I live to the one who loved me and gave himself up for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. First believers realized that they didn't live just to themselves, but all those who didn't yet know Jesus. They were living for everybody who hadn't heard about Jesus. And then doing those three things allowed for what? The second part of verse 33, God's grace so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. God's grace, those things allowed God's grace to be so powerfully at work in them that there weren't needs, that the needs around them were being met. You know, I think that this is an amazing trait of the church in its original form. I think that this is, you know, something that we need to strive for as a church. To see a need and to meet it. The first church met the needs of people. What do we do? Do we look to meet the needs of others? Do we look to meet the needs of other people? And now, okay, I have to say this because this is also very true. There's a difference between a need and a want. The church was never called to meet your wants. It was called to meet your needs. And there's a huge difference because I've seen it happen time and time again where people think that the church should meet their wants as well as their needs. That has never been the call of the church. There's a big difference between a want and a need. You know, I want a good children's church. I want a good music. I want a good preacher. I want. You know, we have to be involved in the church to make some of our wants come true. If we want from the church, then maybe we should be involved in the church.
Amen.
The church was called to meet the needs. When we read scripture, it should speak to us. When we read these things, this really should speak to us. When we see what the first church was doing. Like when the scriptures say, and there were no needs unmet, like, I have to believe that there was nobody who needed things. They were taken care of. They were looked after. Because the church was a generous church. A generous spirit was living within the church. They were giving up their possessions or sharing the things that they had to meet all the needs of the people around them. Is there a need out there that maybe we could meet? Are there a lot of needs out there that we could meet as a church? When we look around us, are there needs that need to be met? And can we pray about those needs and try and meet some of those needs? Because if there is, let's meet them. Let's meet those needs. There's a difference in the first church, isn't there? There's a difference that we're reading, right? They shared everything, so there weren't needs. You know, they gave full sums of property. They gave, things that were sold to the church to the leaders of the church to distribute as it was needed. The church leaders. And you know, we talk about tithing and how it's a necessary, and it is a very necessary thing, but there was a difference in what the first church was doing, right? Like, they weren't just tithing. They were giving to see needs met, right? Mm-hmm. And we remember the story of the widow who gave an offering that amounted to a couple of cents, and Jesus is watching as the offering is being passed around, and he's saying, she gave more than anybody. She gave more than anybody. Because she gave out of her poverty. She gave actually all that she had to live on. She gave out of her poverty. Everything she had to live on. She gave until it hurt. And you know what? Tithing is great, and it's a call and a command for us. We should be tithing faithfully to our church. We should. But it's also a way for us to give out of our wealth, not out of our poverty, right? And now I'm not saying that everybody in here needs to give all that they have to live on, because that would be ridiculous. Really. But I'm just saying, like, sometimes I think that we need to be thinking about in our lives and when we're giving, we need to be thinking about, am I giving what the Lord wants me to give, or am I just stuck in this same traditional thing where I just give my 10% and that makes me feel like I've done what I'm supposed to do and now I can move on. Or can we give until it hurts? When God calls us to. You know, I think that a lot of times we think about money in the most logical way. I do this myself. Okay, I need X amount of dollars to pay for this, 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 and this. And if I give this much to the church, I don't have enough money to pay for this, 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 or this, or this. I've always been amazed at how much the Lord blessed Nicole and I when we went to Mexico and didn't have anything. But we when we live in Mexico, we had more money than we do when I work full time at a mine. I make a lot of money. And it's nothing to do with me, but the blessing of the Lord. You know, and I get it, like sometimes we think about money and it's scary because, you know, financial situations and, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But the fact of the matter is that God wants to be the God of your finances too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think that we forget that the Lord, he is faithful. And if you give because you feel like God has asked you to give, it's not that he's going to just let you fall. And I'm not preaching like a message of prosperity here. I'm like, if you give us all your money, you are going to be blessed. There's going to be Ferraris in our parking lot. Not whatever are out there. I'm not saying that. But our God is a God who will meet our needs. As we move forward as a church, we really do need to think about what do we want. Do we want full-time leadership in the church? Do we want a full-time pastor? Because right now we can't support. But is that a need of this church? No, and do we rely on God to provide for that need and ask the Lord, how can we help support that need? And I'm not standing up here, you know, preaching for my salary, right? Doesn't have to be me. It can be whoever God brings to this church to pastor this church. But is that a need of this church? We're going to be going into a semi-difficult time here where we're going to be relying on God to provide for us, right? And so when we look at our finances, do we trust God enough with them? Do I? You know, Nicole and I have been trying to sell our house, and a continual prayer that I've been having to pray to myself is, Lord, make this about you, not about what I want, about you. Like, because I have a whole bunch of selfish desire inside of me, I won't lie, like, I could spend a lot of money really fast. But Lord, make it about you and not about me. Make the decision of whatever I do about you and not about me. Please. Because I want it to be about you. God's grace was so powerful. The believers were of one mind. They shared all they had. And because there were no needs, the apostles were able to go out and preach, share the good news of Jesus Christ. Like if we just break these few verses down into something compactable. Our goal is to share the word of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. And in this first church, the good news of Jesus Christ was being spread because there was no need that was left unmet. The people who were going out to share the good news of Jesus Christ were able to do that without worrying about any needs being met. Yeah, I believe that the Lord's going to do something amazing here. You know, I believe, and I'll invite the worship team to come back up. I believe that God wants to do something powerful here in Logan Lane, in this church. You know, I've heard people from outside our church have said to us how much they appreciate some of the things that we've been doing in our community. You know, the back to school breakfast being one of them. And that's the type of thing that we want to promote as a church, is, you know, going into the community and finding ways that we can serve. Because just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, he came to serve. And that's also a call of the church, to serve our community and to support them, lift them. And so as I hear these things, I'm excited because I'm going, Lord, what do you want to do with all these, you know, with all these connections that we're making? And what do you want to do? Where do you want to move us from here, Lord? But we want to go where you want us to go. Not where we think we should go. Where you want us to go. I also invite the ushers up to distribute the emblems. We'll ask that you hold on to yours until we can take them all together. If you have called on the Lord Jesus, if Jesus has become your personal Savior in your life, then we invite you to join with us as we take communion. Well, this morning and every morning that we do this, it's an awesome opportunity for us to reflect on how much Jesus sacrificed on the cross for us. And this morning, I want us to be praying in light of that, as we remember that act of obedience. I want us to be praying, Lord, what is it that you would have me do here in this church? In what way can I be more generous? In what way can I be promoting the spirit of generosity in this church? And in what way, Lord, would you have me change to be more like you? He was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it.